Vision, produced by Greg Lawrence, associate producer Emily Durr. Text copyright 2016 by J.R. Handley. Production copyright 2017 by Podium Publishing. All rights reserved. Over Beta City, 2568 A.D. The Stork shuttle zipped over the Serendine landscape while explosions and carbine fire erupted below. Marine Sashala Cravoy clung to the cargo netting she was strapped to as the pilot banked and throttled the Stork so erratically that she worried it might rip in two. Sashala was impassive about the precarious nature of their mission, Faye's Gunshrike, despite the intrinsic danger it presented. Unlike those around her, she didn't complain about being an aerial distraction for their hearted enemies below. The younger Marines voiced concern during the pre-mission briefings, but Sashala was from an earlier era, having been thawed during their time of need. These moderns didn't understand. When orders come down, good Marines do what they are told. It had been less than a week since she was pulled from her icy slumber. The politics didn't matter. If Marines were part of a human resistance, so be it. If this human resistance was to ally with the Human Legion, that was fine too. She donned her armor, strapped on her knives, and reported for duty. Sashala was a weapon. She just needed a target. The only thing she hated was being stuck in the Stork. As an expert in hand-to-hand and bladed combat, Sashala thought it seemed a waste of her skills to be so far removed from the hearted enemy. The hairy aliens looked like a cross between a monkey and a wolf. The drenching beasts had allied with a rebel White Knight faction that managed to win. Their reward was control of Tranquility IV, and the humans on the planet became slaves. The Stork dropped its nose, and Sashala felt weightless. Then the pilot overcorrected, and the G-Force made it feel like she might be crushed. Looking around, she knew the bigger Marines, Pack and Vanderman, were likely hurting more than she was. Because she was 5'4" and all of 135 pounds, Marines often expected Sashala to be an easy mark during combat exercises. She used the misconception to her advantage. Speed and agility beat brawn in open combat, and these modern Marines didn't know squat about how to use a blade. She was mentally planning on using those skills against the pilot, Doc, who seemed intent on killing them with his reckless maneuvering. "Ensign Doc," said Sashala via her helmet comms. "What the frack are you doing up there?" "Stow it, Marine," Doc replied. "Just make sure your rigs are secure." Pack and Vanderman chuckled through the comms at this exchange. They were both strapped into the black nylon gunner's rigs running adjacent to the open cargo doors of the Stork. Their job was to scan the unfolding chaos below and create a little chaos of their own. All eyes needed to be in the sky because the Human Legion, of which Doc was a member, was sneaking an assault team into Beta City. Groaning, she started counting backwards to 10 to keep what remained of her peace of mind. Sashala wanted to give the frecking spacer some credit. Doc cared for his bird in much the same way a Marine viewed a carbine. Unfortunately, most Stork pilots would have taken their human cargo into consideration. Doc seemed to care only for the mission and his bird. Glancing around at the pristine white compartments dotted with wires, cords, and stored gear that she couldn't name, Sashala noted Doc must have cared for his Stork greatly. Thinking of the spacer's dedication to his machine, Sashala could only admire this. Knowing that it was her ass in the sling with his piloting, she hoped that his love for his bird kept him alive. Doc's sudden maneuvering caused her to blanch momentarily as she fought to keep the contents of her stomach down. Marines couldn't throw up, since they didn't have a vomit reflex, but that didn't mean their stomachs were iron kettles. The feeling was worse than anything she could remember, even the hours of orbital re-entry they'd endured as novices and cadets. Being rocketed out of the chutes of frecking spacer transports into the void of orbital combat didn't compare to what she was enduring as Doc's passenger. Just when she thought she'd kept her lunch down, Doc tried to destroy her pride again. The sound of gagging echoed through the comm lines and made Sashala burp. The gas came from the lower portion of her stomach and filled her helmet with the smell of coffee and protein bars. Vanderman was hunched over in his rig, cursing loudly and holding his stomach. "Does someone have a tummy ache?" Pack taunted his friend. "Shut up, Pack. Vanderman can't help it that his mommy didn't breastfeed him. If you were suckled on a male chulba, you'd be a little touched too," Sashala told him, while struggling to contain her mirth. Vanderman lurched to his feet and popped his helmet off with a hiss. When his head was free, he sucked in fresh air and coughed. Get your helmet back on, Vanderman, Sawshawley yelled. Keeping a helmet on your gourd was as basic as not leaving a rifle in the dirt. Sawshawley mentally wept for this new breed of Marines. Vanderman grabbed one of the fire extinguishers from its wall mounting and chucked it at Pack. It clanked as it hit the ceiling of their compartment, then began spraying the white foam everywhere. Most of it, Sawshawley noted with glee, covered Vanderman in a slippery and sticky mess. Marine, you will refrain from destroying the inside of my Stork, said Doc. The pilot had a camera that allowed him to observe what was happening in his cargo hold. Vanderman ate floorboards as Doc turned the Stork on its side. The only thing stopping him from flying to the back of the Stork and smashing into the back wall was the gunner's rig tethering him near the bay opening. The last volley of missiles Pack had fired into Beta City to garner attention had achieved their purpose, and glowing anti-air rounds burned through the sky toward them. Jade, give me targeting directions, said Sawshawley. Jade, her AI, didn't respond. Instead, Sawshawley's helmet reticle filled with targets. Jade used the lines of incoming tracers and small ordnance to calculate areas of origination. With this information plotted, Jade would then adjust fire to the movement of the Stork. When the targeting boxes turned from red to green, Sawshawley and Pack unleashed sabots and tube-fired grenades on targets. When the targets fizzled out of their range, they both looked over to Vanderman, who was uselessly trying to stand, but kept slipping on the mess he had created with a fire extinguisher. By Horden's arse, if you don't get your helmet back on, I'm gonna beat you senseless with it, Vanderman! Sawshawley yelled back toward the flailing Marine. Frack! Doc's voice buzzed over the speakers in the Stork. Hold on tight! The concussive sound of rockets whistling out of the launcher tubes far below sat heavy in the air. Sawshawley and Pack scanned the area outside for where the deadly rockets came from, but they jumped backward as the bay door slammed shut in front of them. What's going on, Doc? Said Sawshawley. Hold on. Just hold on. Some sort of missile defense just targeted us. I'm trying to evade. Vanderman was tossed around on his tether as the Stork did barrel rolls. The second roll knocked him unconscious, and blood began streaming from his head. Oh, shite, Vanderman! Pack yelled. We'll get him in a moment, said Sawshawley. Stupid fracker shouldn't have taken his helmet off. A slurry of curse words worthy of a Marine training sergeant flowed from Doc. He had left the comms line open. Sawshawley judged he was a superior pilot, so this mistake on his part made her realize the severity of whatever issue he was trying to circumvent. Jade had linked into his pilot console and was giving Sawshawley a play-by-play. It appeared a cluster of missiles had locked onto the Stork, and a few were still trailing. Jade kept giving Sawshawley a running commentary and analysis of the events, so she knew when they went weightless that Doc had put his bird into a nosedive. This exposed the vulnerable underbelly of the Stork to the missiles. When the anti-air threat took the bait, Doc activated his Fermi defense field. The missiles, having their computer cores scrambled by the defensive electromagnetic field, struck the Stork but didn't explode. Though the missiles didn't detonate, the bay doors ripped open at the force of the missiles hitting the bulkhead. While they weren't high enough to deal with sudden depressurization, the reverberations of the Stork being jarred snapped Vanderman's tether. His unconscious body slid right between Sawshawley's and Pack's legs and partially out of the open bay door. Sawshawley lunged forward, trying desperately to pull him back into the bird. She grabbed the emergency dead man's handle built onto the back of his armor. This handle was normally used to pull wounded toward cover. She was almost torn out of the shuttle as she felt the harness she was strapped in pull taut. Pack added his strength to the mix. They tried desperately to hang on to Vanderman despite the jerking maneuvers of their pilot, but the slippery oil coating his armor ultimately won. Sawshawley and Pack watched Vanderman fall. He descended with his back toward the tree line. Sawshawley gasped when she saw Vanderman's eyes flutter open, growing wide in a sudden panic. The bird-like flailing of his arms did little to slow his fall, and in his confused state, he didn't think to use the maneuvering capabilities of his assault thrusters. The echo of his scream seemed to hang in the air. They were cut short by branches impacting his back. Jade linked into Vanderman's armor and streamed biometric information to Sawshawley. The initial impact knocked him unconscious, though he was still alive. He continued to fall, bouncing off several more branches on the way down. The force of his impact sheared off some of the weaker limbs. The farther down he fell, the more solid the branches, and the worse his sensors said his health was. Vanderman's fall had been horrific, catastrophic as far as Sawshawley was concerned. Jade informed her that the trees which littered the countryside around Sarpedona Island may have saved him. While he would likely end up being a cripple, he could still be alive. A lack of signal from Vanderman's Ace-2 combat suit wasn't very reassuring, but they couldn't just leave him without knowing.
Sash, I see Freckenhearted scurrying around. We have to land. We can still save him.
Peck screamed to be heard over the noise. Peck didn't need to scream. He was wearing his helmet, which canceled out noise, but Sashala recognized that his panic was concern for his friend. She hoped her calm demeanor would influence Peck, because hysteria kills more Marines on the battlefield than sabots. She offered a quick note of understanding in her voice as she acknowledged him.
Roger, let me handle this, Peck, she said.
Knowing that Vanderman would die without medical attention, Sashala demanded that her shuttle pilot, Ensign Doc, perform an emergency landing. They'd already completed their primary mission, having distracted the enemies in and around Beta City, so she knew that they had the latitude to rescue their fallen Marine before finishing their secondary mission. When the Ensign denied the request, saying the current danger to the Stork made this action inadvisable, Sashala became more forceful.
You will put this bird on the ground so we can rescue Vanderman, or I will give you a scar to remember this day by,
she said, as she unhooked her harness and used her assault thrusters to get to the pilot station. Her speed and the blasts of air coming from her armor propelled her to the forward part of the Stork in seconds. The door to the pilot console was an airlock, but Jade overrode the controls and it hissed open. Doc was still arguing pointlessly over the comms when Sashala leaned forward, slid one of her black combat knives to his crotch, and applied pressure.
I've never castrated a man before, but I'm told the process is simple enough. If I do it right, you won't even bleed to death. At least that's what I've heard. Care to test it out, or should we land, hmm?
While she spoke, she applied an ever-increasing pressure to her blade, knowing his thin spacer flight suit offered little protection against the razor edge. Between her sudden appearance in the pilot station, the knife and the threat, Doc appeared dismayed. There were a few moments of silence while Doc's eyes scanned the area below. Sashala pressed a little harder and his face lost all color. If he'd put on the helmet of his flight suit, she'd have missed it. While fiddling with a ridiculous scarf he insisted on wearing and visibly gulping, Doc grunted his agreement before replying.
No, idiot, I mean Marine left behind, I get it. Once I land and you disembark, you'll have 15 minutes to get to the rendezvous location. I'll circle around, and if you're not there, I'm gone. Understood?
For all his tough words laced with bitterness, Doc's voice held a slight wobble when he answered. Sashala withdrew her knife from his crotch, and the pilot let out a gasp of air. Doc brought the Stork into a steep nosedive before pulling up at the last minute. This caused Sashala to tumble backward out of the pilot console. Trying to regain her feet, she heard the door hiss shut again. The Stork banked, and Sashala continued to tumble, cursing her lack of harness. Before she could shout into the comms, the Stork lurched to its side, and she slid out the bay doors and fell.
That freaking spacer pizza!
Sashala landed flat on her back after falling about 25 meters. The combat armor took the brunt of the hit. From her back, Sashala watched as Ensign Doc left her in Pack, who unclipped and landed on his feet, alone in enemy territory. Sashala was grateful for the chance to save her comrade, so she put the spacer out of her mind and focused on the mission at hand.
Rendezvous point has been uploaded to your AIMI, said Doc into her helmet speaker. You got 15 minutes before I submerge. After that, it could be hours before I get to you. Thanks for flying, Legionnaire.
Sashala, perhaps threatening the pilot with castration was a poor choice, Jade chimed in her ear.
Frack him, said Sashala. I'll deal with him later.
She sat up and noted that her impact had created a small indentation in the dark brown soil of the island. The lack of direct sunlight created a gloomy atmosphere, and the decomposing leaves that lay everywhere around her only enhanced the feeling of foreboding. Struggling to regain her footing, Sashala was temporarily unsteady, but then the fog cleared from her mind. She began checking her gear while brushing the dirt and grit off her carbine. A lifetime of yelling sergeants had conditioned her to care for her weapon before worrying about herself. She could fight without a leg, but not without her precious carbine.
Frack me,
Sashala spit out as she realized that her SA-71 had jammed in the fall. Taking a knee, Sashala performed her basic corrective actions to restore functionality to her carbine. She worked quickly, her skill born from a lifetime of practice, but her attention was on the sounds around her. Her helmet prevented her from smelling anything, but her sight and hearing were amplified by her advanced combat armor.
She processed everything around her, noting the sound of a trickling stream behind her, the movement of fleeing wildlife, and an unnatural stillness. She was being watched. Nothing on her sensors told her this, but she knew. She looked around, searching desperately through the shadows created by the leafy canopy above her, but couldn't find it. While she scanned, she finalized her carbine repairs and performed a functions check. It was ready to roll, so she put her full attention to her scan of the wooded glen in which she'd landed. Even though it was the middle of the day, the dense woods and broad canopy cover limited her field of view and almost completely negated many of the enhancements her ACE-2 combat suit provided. "At least my training didn't rely on all this tech," she told herself as she scanned. Right now, her only benefit seemed to be enhanced hearing, as she heard the distant sounds of battle floating in on the slight breeze, causing the leaves to dance around the moss she was currently kneeling in. Pack bounded over, motioning to his far left. Crack! A mossy patch on the ground to Sashala's right popped in a cloud of green dust. Rolling into a prone position with some rocks as cover, Sashala scanned the trees while Jade began her work. Pack smashed his back flat against a tree. "Pack, hold your position," said Sashala. "Don't move."
"Roger that," he replied.
Moments later, Sashala's helmet reticle highlighted a figure in the trees. The furry creature, which looked like the result of a monkey mating with a wolf, was almost comical in appearance. The fact that it was trying to kill her erased the humor. The heart had fired again, and the sabo had launched embedded in the rock in front of Sashala, causing bits of dust to land on her back. The drenching monkey was upside down and holding onto the tree branch with its long, fully prehensile tail. Its clawed feet clung to the branch and stabilized it. Despite this, it still rocked slightly after firing the carbine balanced in its hands. The rifle was a hearted variant she hadn't seen before. Sashala couldn't help but think the creature looked primitive, but she'd worked with enough of them to know how cunning and crafty they could be. "Firing," said Sashala. Her words were barely audible. In one seamless movement, she brought her carbine up, sighted, and gently eased the trigger. Despite the distance, Jade could detect the dull thud of the hearted hitting the damp soil.
"Beautiful shot, Sash," said Pack.
It bothered her that these new air marines used first names. Despite the slight annoyance, she gave a thumbs up with her non-firing hand. Taking a moment, she viewed a quick slow-motion replay of her shot. It was a trick she'd been taught by the modern marines to self-assess her skills with each long-range shot. The replay followed the sabo, and it revealed that her aim had been off. She targeted the fracker's forehead, but blown apart its toothy maw. Satisfied that they were momentarily safe, Sashala looked over for Pack. He was gone. "Pack, where the frack are you?" Sashala said into the comms line. There was no answer. Jade locked onto Pack's armor signature, and Sashala followed it down a steep, leafy embankment. Her metal-encased feet dug into the ground as she slid down. Almost falling, she tapped her assault thrusters, and a quick blast of air righted her. When she reached the bottom of the ravine, the flow of water lapped around her feet. The rocky creek cut through the dirt, and a few meters away she saw Pack lying face down on a pile of rocks, his helmet submerged in water. She splashed over, grabbed him by the handle on the back of his armor, and dragged him out of the creek to the muddy embankment. Flipping him over, she could see his helmet visor was cracked, and the entire fishbowl had filled with water. It only took Sashala a few seconds for her fingers to find the clasps holding his helmet on. Once the helmet was out of the way, she saw a gash on his forehead, running from his stubbly hairline to the bridge of his nose. "Sashala, a biometric scan reveals water in the lungs," Jade chimed in Sashala's ears. Acting on instinct, Sashala unclasped her helmet and pulled it free. Her lips pressed his as she forced air into his mouth. Pack's lips were icy cold. She didn't have to do chest compressions, since the ACE-2 combat suit had this feature built into it, as well as a defibrillator if needed. The mechanical hum of Pack's suit pushing on his chest, following the exhale of breath Sashala forced into his lungs, was rhythmic. The rhythm was broken when Pack coughed a mouthful of water all over Sashala's face. While Pack struggled to regain his breath, Sashala put her helmet back on and began scanning the surrounding area again. "How the frack did you end up face first in the water?"
"My AI picked up multiple hostiles to your rear while you were dealing with a hearted sniper," said Pack. "I moved to the rear to secure your position and slipped. That's all I remember."
While he cleared his head and sprayed clotting foam on his forehead, Zanshala performed emergency maintenance on his helmet so it would function enough to allow him to operate at moderate efficiency. He wouldn't be able to use it in the void, but his AI would be able to assist his aim as long as the enemy wasn't directly in front of him, where the hairline crack would obscure his vision. Getting the helmet functioning as well as she could, Zanshala tossed it into his lap.
"Thanks, Sash. I wasn't sure your old arse had it in you," he wheezed out. "As soon as I can breathe, we'll track down Vanderman. Have to find..." he gasped. "Find him. He's all that's left alive from my crash."
"Vanderman may be an idiot, but he's one of the only moderns I've met who knows his arse from a hole in the ground," replied Zanshala. "Since you two are friends, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt."
Pack laughed. "Benefit of the doubt? Frack off," he told her as he punched her arm.
Convinced that Pack was good to go, she helped him don his helmet and waited while he serviced his weapon. Satisfied that they were as ready as could be expected, they sprinted towards Vanderman's last known position at a low crouch. She only hoped that the lack of any signal from him didn't mean he was dead. It was a hard run through the trees, pushing through dense underbrush that caught on their armor, bounding over dead logs and struggling not to lose their footing in the mud or on the slimy moss that seemed to coat every surface. The duo paused occasionally, using the environment as cover, and scanned for any more of the Hardits. Zanshala knew better than to trust her sensors in the dense wilderness, and insisted that they bound forward in some semblance of tactical coordination. At each of the waypoints, they made use of the huge tree trunks to provide cover, hydrate, and to allow Pack to catch his breath. Pack was wheezing and clutching at his side with each breath. Short, raspy gasps were giving him little air, and the lack of oxygen was killing his ability to keep up.
"What's going on with your breathing? You moderns PT as part of your training, right?"
"I don't know, Sash. My side is killing me," said Pack. "Feels like a knife cutting into my lungs every time I try to take an air. Frack!"
"I think you cracked a rib," replied Zanshala as she dropped to a knee. "Don't know why your AI isn't picking it up. Go ahead and have it administer some painkillers. If it gets worse, you'll probably get dosed with combat drugs, and even I won't be able to keep up with your skinny arse when that happens."
Zanshala watched as Pack's heaving lessened. In about 12 seconds, he went from sucking air to ready to rock. He gave her the thumbs up, and they continued their trek. Ducking under a vine and jumping over a rock, Pack sounded in Sashala's ears.
"You think Doc is really going to come back for us? What if he got shot down after he dumped us?"
"One thing at a time, Pack," Zanshala replied. "Let's find Vanderman and then we'll worry about what's next. Doc left coordinates for us, so we'll find out."
Pack didn't reply. Zanshala didn't say it, but she was worried too. 15 minutes wasn't much time. If they didn't make the initial pickup, Doc would take his stork and hide it in the lake surrounding Sarpedona Island. The Human Legion assault force was planning on detonating a gamma bomb, and the stork's electronics would be shielded under the water. The stork was also the Legion assaulter's underwater exfiltration point. When the time came, Doc would pick those Marines up, then go to the rendezvous point, hopefully. That could be hours of waiting. If the drenching spacer bothered to tell Major McEwen about their plight, she knew the Major would order their retrieval. But after she'd had to convince Doc to land, she wondered if he wouldn't just report them dead. She figured Doc was a duty-bound spacer, but a knife to the balls makes people do crazy things. A proximity alert rang in Sashala's ears, tearing her from those useless thoughts. They'd closed on the last known position of Vanderman's combat armor. They were close, but they'd still have to manually search the area, trees and all.
"Jade, do one last calculation of the fall and provide..."
"It's already done," Jade replied. "Vanderman's last known position is 21 meters northeast and approximately 10 meters up."
"What does your AI mean by up?" said Pack.
Zanshala didn't answer. She didn't need to. Vanderman was hanging by his ankles from a tree ahead. His feet were lashed to a branch by ropes of some kind, and the top half of his ace-2 combat suit had been removed, leaving him bare-skinned. He had been eviscerated from navel to neck. It appeared an animal had broken his ribs outward and scratched out his lungs, heart, and other organs. Pack was gone in an instant, running toward his dead friend and screaming his rage against the situation. While Pack ran to his friend, Zanshala sprinted to a large tree behind them. She knew a trap when she saw one. She shouted into her helmet for Pack to stop, but there was no reply.
"His helmet comms were damaged by his fall," said Jade. "I am unsure if he can hear you at this proximity, but I can confirm he can't respond." Combining the speed of her sprint with her assault thrusters, she nimbly bounced and bounded her way up into the large tree. Air blasted from the pack built into the back of her armor, giving her the extra power to make the leaps.
"Jade, highlight targets," said Sashala. "Give me thermal."
While the view through Sashala's helmet reticle flashed to black and white, with the living targets glowing red and pink, she ripped smoke grenades from her leg and rained them down around Pack and Vanderman. It took only a moment for the opaque fog to fill the area, trapped between the foliage of the trees and the ground below. Sabos cracked through the woods as Harditz all around her blindly opened fire. Sashala could see the crimson outline of Pack cutting Vanderman down and holding him. Leaning heavily into the tree trunk, Sashala could also see they were outgunned by a superior force. It was a bad place for anyone with a shred of tactical acumen to find herself. But Sashala knew she wasn't just anyone. Distance, wind, heat, gravity, trajectory, bullet penetration, all of this was accounted for by Jade. The moment the numbers and estimations returned, Sashala began hitting targets. Pop, pop. Slowly and steadily, she engaged. Pop. Slowly and steadily, the Harditz around her fell to the ground and died. A few howled in agony as the invisible demon pierced through the veil and stung them, but more met their ends instantly.
Pack was acting as an unwitting distraction as he sprayed the area around with sabos. It appeared to Sashala that he hoped to find vengeance for Vanderman. More likely, his sabos would deviate and hit her.
After flipping on her voice amplification, she shouted to Pack. The sound of her voice echoed along the trees.
"Pack, I'm at your 3 o'clock high. Check your fire."
Pack adjusted his fire and continued his fully automatic assault on the trees and foliage around him.
Sashala, on the other hand, chose targets carefully, each sabo delivering death or incapacitating injuries to the enemy.
Within minutes, there was only silence, and the smoke below had begun to dissipate. Sashala leaped down from the branch on which she was perched and ran over to Pack. He had slung his rifle and was holding Vanderman. Flies buzzed around, quick to take advantage of the newly provided food.
"Pack, he's gone. We have to move," said Sashala. "We can't just leave him like this. Look what those fracking beasts did to him."
It was a grim sight. Vanderman's intestines and organs had been strewn about the area. The knife the Harditz had gutted him with lay broken amidst the debris. Vanderman's body had been marked with bloody writing. It was in a language Sashala couldn't read, so she took quick pictures through her helmet and continued scanning the area.
"Vanderman was a great Marine, but that firefight is going to pull every Harditz in the area on top of us," said Sashala.
She kneeled next to Pack as she continued. "We stay here, we join Vanderman. We leave when we get a chance to make these frackers pay." Not trusting Pack, who was obviously mourning his friend, Sashala scanned around the area. She couldn't detect any Harditz nearby. Jade sounded in her ears.
"Sashala, my scanners are being jammed. It isn't just the dense foliage. I can account for that. The Harditz are actively jamming the area. I missed it at first because they're not using the standard White Knight jamming protocol. Now that I know what I'm looking for, I can counter it."
"How long is it going to take for you to get the sensors functioning properly? The last thing we need..."
"Done. I was about to tell you I was done," replied Jade.
"Stop interrupting. It's rude, and I know your mother taught you better. Now that I can actively and passively scan our surroundings, we should be better informed. I have passed this information to Pack as well and updated his AI."
Jade was again interrupted, this time by Pack. He sounded surprisingly calm and resolute for a Marine who just found his friend's gutted body.
"Can you find specific signatures? I want the frack sticks who did this to my friend," he demanded of Jade.
"At ease, Marine. Nothing we can do for him now," said Sashala.
"Besides, he would have needed to be wearing his helmet for us to have access to any sort of cam footage to pull that off. Right now, we need to push hard for the rendezvous. Doc gave us 15 mics. We're already hurting for time."
She knew sympathy wasn't what Pack needed right now. A Marine needs a mission, a point to focus on. Right now, their focus had to be getting to the rendezvous. The time for mourning and grog drinking would come later.
It was hidden deeper, but she felt the pull of her emotions. Vanderman had been the only one who truly appreciated knives as she did, and he was one of the only Marines she liked after being thawed. Now he was gone. Jade puffed air in Sashala's face and brought her back into the moment.
"All right, Pack, you know what has to happen," said Sashala. "Let's do it."
They didn't have time to bury Vanderman, but they did need to strip his AI, his equipment, and booby-trap his body. To the casual observer, it would seem like desecration to lace a fallen comrade's body with munitions and blow it to smithereens. To Marines in the field, it was one last chance for their dead pal to reach out of the grave and deliver retribution. Vanderman would be afforded this opportunity given the circumstance.
Pack, I'm going to leave the fireworks up to you, said Sashala. Vanderman's torso armor is over there. I'm going to strip his AI.
She had seen a piece of armor lying in some low bushes to the right of the tree. It looked like the Harditz had hacked away at the joints of the armor to remove it from Vanderman's torso. She just prayed he'd already been dead for that part. Crouching down near the main chest piece, which was sprayed with blood, Sashala pushed the release button where Vanderman's AI was housed. Nothing happened. After pulling a knife from her leg sheath and moving above the button, Sashala found the manual release toggle. She snaked the tip of the blade under the ridged metal and lifted. The AI slot ejected a black polymer sleeve less than an inch wide and roughly 2 inches long. The slender sleeve harbored and protected the actual AI chip. It was a precious thing, an AI, a computer intelligence that grew to know the user. For many Marines, an AI was the only steadfast companion they would have through their journey.
Traps are set, said Pack. I'm ready to move.
Sashali could detect the wobble in his voice. He wanted vengeance, but more than that, Pack probably just wanted to get as far away from this grisly scene as possible. Placing the AI chip into a protected compartment on her leg, Sashala looked over at Pack. The Marine had procured most of Vanderman's munitions and had magnetically locked them to his armor. Grenades dotted his chest, and ammunition carousels circled his leg. Pack looked like a walking armory.
You going to be able to move with all that extra weight? Said Sashala.
Didn't want it to go to waste, replied Pack. If things go well, I'll be lightening this load as we go. It's not like you are going to use any of it.
Vanderman's body? Said Sashala.
It's good to go, Pack replied. His shoulder slumped as he spoke. I packed his chest with enough explosive to take down a grav tank. He'd approve. I can't think of any finer send-off.
Sashala's helmet reticle lit up with multiple red targeting boxes. The enemy was still a distance away, but were now closing on their position, likely alerted by the earlier firefight. They'd spent too much time with Vanderman already, and they needed to move. Saying a final, silent goodbye, the two pushed onward. Using hand and arm signals to indicate their movements, they quickly and quietly stalked through the wooded area and shuffled toward the rendezvous point. Sashala knew they were cutting it close and that getting into a prolonged firefight would cost more precious minutes.
Marines, where the frack are you? Doc's voice blasted through Sashala's earpiece. I said 15 minutes!
We're moving. Stand by for our current location, said Sashala. Jade Linkar.
A massive explosion sent a moderate pressure wave through the branches of the trees around them, shaking leaves down from above.
That was Vanderman, said Pack. The Harditz are right on our arses.
Sashala glanced backward in mid-trot. Her helmet reticle highlighted a swarm of approaching enemies.
Doc, we've got hostiles on our six, said Sashala. We are approaching your position. Stand by.
Negative. I can't wait and risk losing the Stork. If that explosion was you, there's no way you can make it to my location anytime soon. The Legion Assault Team is counting on me to be there to exfil them from Beta City. Hunker down. I'll come back for you later.
Picking up her pace and shouting into her comms at Doc yielded no response. This continued for a minute before Jade spoke up.
Sashala, Ensign Doc is no longer receiving comms. I would assume he is currently moving to or already submerged in Lake Sarpedona and operating under a communications blackout. We should head to the rendezvous point and wait for him there. He showed up once. He'll likely show again. Also, Pack has fallen behind.
Sashala stopped her momentum with a slide of her feet and whipped her helmet around. She could see Pack running toward her, obviously struggling, and at least 5 enemy targets were highlighted in her helmet reticle. The Harditz were still out of sight, but they were almost on top of Pack now. Vanderman was dead. They'd missed their rendezvous, and now they'd be stuck on this dung heap of an island for a horde knew how long, waiting to get picked up. The rage seethed to the point Sashala needed it to. Then she harnessed it. Pack's helmet tipped sideways inquisitively as Sashala dashed past him in a blur of speed. Rifle out, helmet reticle tracking, red boxes highlighted, she prepared for the onslaught. The Harditz believed her and Pack to the prey. It was time they paid for this mistake. 4 Harditz approached, sprinting on all 4 appendages. They clearly didn't expect to see a small-framed Marine running directly for them. Their tails dug into the soft, leaf-covered ground behind them as they attempted to slow their pursuit and react.
Sashala compressed the trigger of her SA-71 four times in response to the Hardit slowing, never stopping her forward momentum. Hardit heads popped open, spraying their contents into the forest canopy.
Sabos zinged toward her location from beyond the now-dead enemies.
Using her non-stop gait, Sashala dipped low, activated her assault thrusters, and leapt skyward. Hitting a low-hanging branch with both feet, she jumped again. Two more Hardits scurried beneath her toward their fallen comrades, oblivious to her presence above. In an almost soundless movement, she dropped to the ground behind them and commenced pursuit. The Hardits in front of her slowed, now seeing their four packmates dead in the leaves. Stopping to investigate was their mistake. Sashala began her ballet. A burst of speed and her carbine fell from her hands and was flung behind her by the retractable sling. The click it made as it locked to her back caused the two Hardits' ears to perk. The next sound they heard was the unsheathing of her two thigh blades. One in each hand, roughly 5 inches in length, these sharped knives were meant for precision flight. Jade knew this dance, and the moment the perfect distance and speed were achieved by her human blade launcher, she signaled Sashala. The dual blade sailed from Sashala's armored hands, spinning point over pommel, and found new homes and Hardit necks. The drenching monkeys thrashed as they fell to the ground. Continuing her sprint, Sashala rolled, pulled two knives free from her ankle sheaths, and met the dying foes. It wasn't brutality she displayed, like what the animals had done to her friend Vanderman. It was exactness. She had studied the anatomy of the Hardits prior to this day, and her slices were quick, controlled, and perfect. By the time Pack had caught up to Sashala a minute or so later, she was cleaning her blades on the short fur of the dead Hardits. Pack's hands went to his knees as he struggled to fill his lungs.
"Holy frack, Sash," said Pack, panting. "Remind me to never piss you off."
"Never piss me off," she replied.
"Nice. My helmet is barely functioning. Are we clear?"
Sashala scanned the area around them, having Jade search out as far as she could for movement, sound, heat signatures, and signs of life. Nothing returned.
"I'm not picking up shite," said Sashala. "Let's get to the rendezvous location and set up shop. We're going to be waiting a while."
"Waiting? Why are we waiting?"
"Did you not get any of the comms from Doc? He showed up, we weren't there, so we went to pick up the rest of his Legion buddies in the lake."
"He's just leaving us? That's frackin' ridiculous,"
Pack lamented. He walked over to one of the dead Hardits and kicked it in the side.
"Stow it, Pack," said Sashala. "He said he'd swing by and pick us up after the gamma bomb. We're just going to have to dig in and wait. I didn't think the fracking spacer would show up the first time, but he did. I think he'll show up again."
Sashala then took a moment to make sure they'd both successfully strapped everything down before their slow and deliberate movement to the rendezvous point. As the only one with a functioning helmet, Sashala took the lead and set a slow pace. There was no reason to rush, since it would likely be hours before their ride arrived. Plus, Pack was looking worse for the wear. His wheezing was starting to grate on Sashala's nerves. The route to the rendezvous took them through some of the densest woods Sashala could remember. The trees offered increased cover and concealment, and also allowed Sashala's mind to wander. It was obvious that Doc was right. There was no way they would have made the extraction. This knowledge didn't soften the idea that they would have to wait it out on a Hardit-infested island for an unknown period of time. The substantial growth of close-knit trees finally began to give way. The leaf-covered ground transitioned to low scrub grass, which was soon replaced by hip-high meadows of bright orange stalks. The brilliant grass danced in the breeze blowing over the rolling hill.
"This is obviously where we were supposed to meet Doc," said Sashala, as she pointed to the crest of the hill in front of them.
The grass along the top was flattened from the blast of the stork's exhaust. Pack just nodded in response. The small climb up the hill challenged him, and his breathing was still a major issue. Knowing that the wait could be hours long, Sashala grabbed her emergency entrenching tool out of her butt pack. A few Marines called it their native kit, referring to some of the primitive cultures the human Marine Corps troopers had encountered in service to their absentee overlords. Unfolding her small field shovel, she noticed Pack doing the same, and they both got to work. The fortifications Sashala and Pack made were not fancy. It was a modified two-man fighting hole. Cut longer than the tallest Marine, which was Pack in this case, the rectangular hole would allow one Marine to sleep on a dirt shelf a couple feet below the surface, while the other stood watch with only shoulders and head exposed. Using some branches and the surrounding grass, they created a camouflaged blind to hide their temporary home from prying eyes. Pack tossed himself onto the bumpy dirt shelf that would serve as a place to nap, while Sashala sat on her butt and gauged the distance to Beta City. In any other circumstance, she would have appreciated the view from this grassy orange knoll. Twinkling high above in the clouds was the Jotun city of Kijiji. Its translucent construction captured rays from the sun and refracted beautiful colors down, like a brilliant crystal. In dark contrast, an orbital elevator cut a vertical black line from the ground into space. The water of Lake Sarpedona, almost emerald in color, hung on her right horizon. Somewhere hiding in that water were Doc and his stork shuttle. The gamma bomb those human legion marines were planning to detonate would have fried the electronics of the stork, but the water would shield Doc's precious spacecraft. Jade confirmed with Sashala that they would be far enough from the gamma bomb and Beta City to be unaffected. It was the third time Sashala had done this. Turning her attention away from the looming unknown, she focused her attention on Pack. "Pack, how are you holding up?" Sashala asked the younger Marine.
"Sash, it frackin' sucks that the chucklehead pilot couldn't do his job. We did ours, we created a distraction, and in return, that spacer tossed us around like a creche toy and left us here. Vanderman didn't have to die."
"Just get some rest," said Sashala. "We'll honor Vanderman in our own way later." Pack rolled over, and Sasha used her AIMI to relay information to Jade. Pack was disconnected from his AI due to equipment failure, but obviously needed a common cocktail of pain relievers. Jade could bypass the equipment failure and access the suit directly. Sudden snoring from Pack indicated that the drugs were effective. There was a lot Pack was saying that was misguided, the mark of a young Marine. Vanderman, on the other hand, was good for a modern Marine, but his own foolishness cost him everything. Moreover, he was the reason they were in a hole in the ground instead of safely in the stork with Doc. Doc had done everything he could to complete his mission, and despite the shenanigans of the Marines in his cargo hold, he had seemingly accomplished his objective. The more Sashala thought about it, the more certain she was Doc would pick them up. Sashala sharpened her knives, cleaned her rifle, and stared out at the water. Naturally, her head constantly swiveled to pull in sensor scans from around them, but there just wasn't anything happening. She jumped slightly when Jade destroyed the silence. "Sashala, the Human Legion set off the gamma bomb."
"I don't see squat," said Sashala.
"Didn't you pay any attention at all during the briefings? Gamma radiation exists outside of the visible spectrum. I am monitoring your suit biometrics, and you don't seem to be receiving any extra radiation from this detonation. I do suggest getting in the hole with Pack. A little extra soil and dirt couldn't hurt anything." Jumping into the hole and sitting in the space below where Pack was sleeping, Sashala scanned the different signals coming from Beta City. There was nothing but static now. Knowing comms might be permanently damaged, she said a silent prayer that Doc passed the word about her and Pack. The idea of only one person in the galaxy knowing their location was frightening, especially if that one person was a spacer with a death wish. Sashala's worry was tempered by hope. She knew Doc was in the water, waiting for the Human Legion team to exfil. The gamma bomb had been detonated. It seemed all the mission objectives were falling into place. An ear-splitting sound shook the ground as the sky above split apart. A projectile punched down through the clouds like a meteor and slowly streaked toward them. Pack awoke with a shout and rolled on top of Sashala.
"Is that a gamma bomb?" he shouted.
"Jade, what the frack is going on?" said Sashala. "It's a kinetic strike. Origination appears to be the Antilles moon base. Trajectory shows it impacting close to Beta City. Correction. I believe it will impact the lake. Be ready. Things are going to get complicated." Sashala pushed Pack away and jumped to her feet. The smoking projectile looked to be moving in slow motion, streaking down from the heavens. Suddenly the speed increased and it obliterated the serene calm of Lake Sarpedona. A lingering second later, the earth quaked as an explosion rocked the bedrock of the lake and sent water in all directions.
"Jade, please don't tell me that is where the Human Legion team was exfilling," said Sashala. "Please don't tell me that's where Doc Stork was hiding."
"I don't have enough information to answer this query," Jade replied.
Jade followed this pronouncement with a description of the likely scenarios that might result. While Jade blathered on, Sashala used her helmet's optical zoom to scan the area where Beta City would be. Polycrete tunnels and stairways, the Marines called sally ports, were the only entrances to the underground city.
Hundreds of Hardith militia began to stream out of the sally ports. They looked like swarming ants. Rumbling from above caused Pack to let out a shout and roll himself into a ball at the base of the fighting hole they had dug. Sashala followed suit, not wanting to take any chances. Jade spoke to her slowly.
Sashala, this strike won't hit the lake. It's going to hit the Jotun city above. When it happens, a massive amount of infrastructure will rain down from the sky. This will...
The air snapped, and a blinding light made the Tranquility Sun look like a withering flame. Rumbling and creaking from far away filled Sashala's helmet. Peeking above the lip of their hole, she watched as the once regal Jotun city crumbled and began showering down on Tranquility. Sashala fell back to her butt, and as she and Pack held each other, she wondered if this fighting hole would be their grave. The packed soil they had carved out tumbled in around them as falling debris from the Jotun city obliterated anything it touched. The sky above became dark, and a wave of dusty wind blasted over the top of the hole, screaming as it passed by. Then all Sashala could hear was her own labored breathing.
"Is it over?"
she whispered.
"No," Jade replied. "There is one more. This one will make landfall near Beta City. Brace yourself."
Sashala felt the final kinetic strike hit the planet. The energy it poured into Tranquility IV when it struck was frightening, and it caused the dirt in their fighting hole to erode to their waistlines. A pressure wave of air, dust, and heat flowed over top of Pack and Sashala. It felt absolute, as if the strike had cleansed the island of life. Sashala and Pack dug themselves out of the now-collapsed fighting hole and looked in all directions. The world was a different place. The blue sky had turned opaque and brown, fires burned in all directions, and chunks of translucent Jotun infrastructure, some the size of entire buildings, jutted out of the ground. Glancing to the lake, Sashala moaned. The water was choppy from abuse, and more hunks of the shattered city of Kijiji lay strewn along its shores.
"Jade, is there any way Doc Stork survived this?"
asked Sashala. Pack leaned in close to listen. There was a pause before Jade spoke. She used the external speakers on Sashala's helmet so Pack could hear as well.
"Judging by the amount of destruction the kinetic strike caused when it made landfall near Beta City, the probability is very low."
Sashala ignored this information and attempted to raise Doc on comms. To raise anyone. Pack fell to his butt and looked around. After failing to reach anyone, Sashala recorded a message for Jade to broadcast on repeat.
"Human Legion Actual, this is Phased Gunshrike. I say again, Human Legion Actual, this is Phased Gunshrike. Any Legion asset on this channel, we are requesting immediate assistance. We're stranded on the island and require immediate exfil."
While the message rolled on a loop, Sashala began making frantic calls over every comms network she could locate. The result was static. Despite this, she kept trying. Sitting around and waiting to be rescued wasn't in her genetic code. Jade came in through her helmet speakers.
"Sashala, stop. We are alone. We need to react accordingly if we're to survive this day cycle. There are two options. Wait to see if Doc shows up or move to a defensible location. This fighting hole, what's left of it, is not a long-term solution."
Having overheard Sashala's frantic conversation, Pack began to panic again. This time, the combat drugs had little effect on his hysteria. He sat with his legs crossed over each other, rocking back and forth.
"Frack! Frack! Frack!"
he muttered to himself as he continued swaying. Sashala looked down at the crashing marine and shook her head. She wanted to consult him about their next move. After bending down and smacking him on the helmet hard enough to shut him up, Sashala stood and began thinking out loud.
"We've got hundreds of Hardiths fleeing Beta City and running rampant. Limited supplies, a broken foxhole, radiation, fire, and no way of knowing whether Doc and the Stork survive those drenching kinetic strikes or not."
"So basically we're fracked," said Pack.
"I wasn't done,"
Sashala retorted as she leaned down and smacked Pack again.
"We have no way to get back to Baleshore either. We know that this is an important system, so someone will come back to claim it eventually. I think we should get into Beta City, find a cryogenic lab, and freeze ourselves. We wait it out on ice and hope for the best."
Pack's helmet shot up at her when she finished her rant. A cloud of black and brown dust from the woods below rolled over top of them both while they spoke.
"You suggest we run toward a city that is teeming with radiation and was nearly obliterated with a kinetic strike?"
said Pack as he regained his feet. "Oh, and let's not forget the arseload of pissed-off Hardiths inside who are likely on high alert thanks to the Human Legion jerk-offs who just assaulted the place. That's your plan?"
It's a plan that doesn't involve rocking in the fetal position like a creshling, said Sashala. Her fingers made a knife hand and pointed at Pack. You want to stay here and starve or get overrun by Harditz? Fine. You think Vanderman would sit here and moan? Frack no, he'd say, let's go to the Hardit house and stack those drenting monkeys up. I'm just suggesting we do something proactive instead of waiting for a stork that is likely in a million pieces at the bottom of that lake. Pack had taken a series of steps back as Sashala waved her knife hand around menacingly. After staring at her, an unreadable expression on his face, Pack gave her a raised thumb. For Vanderman, he said. I'm no expert, but I know it doesn't take much energy to maintain an icer, although freezing and unfreezing takes large amounts. We'll have to pray to Horden's hairy moose knuckle that the city is still functioning at all. Pack flinched when Sashala went to slap him on the arm. In a moment, her digisheet was out of her leg compartment and projecting a holographic map of the area around the city. There were lots of options to make entry into the underground city, but Pack's helmet being cracked eliminated a few. Sashala and Pack were going back and forth, looking at the various routes, when Jade tapped into Sashala's voice amplification to speak to them both. Do you see the clouds of dust and smoke around you? Most of it is originating from above Beta City thanks to the kinetic strike. What was happening at Beta City before the strike? That's right, a somewhat contained, highly radioactive gamma bomb. It's not contained anymore. It's everywhere. You two don't have time to take in the scenery and discuss. You both need to haul arse and get out of this radioactive shitestorm. Follow the creek bed for several clicks. Then you've only a few more until you reach the clearing prior to the sally ports.
You've got to be kidding me, said Pack. Look at all this dust everywhere, and my helmet's cracked. I'm fracked.
We'll make it out alive, replied Sashala. We just have to make it to the city, and then we're home free. We'll sleep for a while on ice, and our nanites will scrub the radiation out of our blood.
Sashala took point and began jogging in the direction Jade indicated in her helmet reticle. The smoke was thick in areas, as anything that could burn seemed to be in flames. It felt surreal to be running through the opaque soup, only to walk into a hulking piece of translucent Jotun architecture. Jade took the transit time as an opportunity to strategize.
The clearing around the sally ports leading into the underground city is huge, said Jade. It is imperative that you save some of your assault thruster energy for that stretch. Otherwise, you'll be a slow-moving target. I've marked the best route on your helmet reticle. Move fast, don't stop, and kill your way through. There's no time to get bogged down in a prolonged fight.
Knowing that time was of the essence, and with nothing else left to plan, Sashala glanced over her shoulder to check on Pack. He was chugging along at the slow pace. Waving a hand over her shoulder to urge him on, Sashala increased the speed. The terrain was more treacherous the closer they moved to where the kinetic strike had hit the surface. Trees were blown flat, and many of them were ablaze. Their twisted roots reached for the sky as if surrendering, only to be swallowed by flames as well. Unbelievably massive pieces of Kijiji dotted the area, forcing the pair to detour around and risk being barbecued. Outside the occasional detour, the creek bed they crept along saved them from the conflagrations dotting the landscape. Skittering down a series of slippery rocks, Sashala heard a large thud behind her. She took another step forward before pivoting in a smooth and seamless motion, ending in a low combat crouch. She quickly scanned the area looking for the source of the sound, as her heart raced, thumping an erratic pattern in her chest. Looking down, she saw Pack lying in a spread eagle position. Water flowed around him as his chest heaved up and down. His SA-71 was just out of his reach. Sashala jumped down to him, picked up his rifle, and smashed it into his chest. Instead of letting him have it, she put her weight into the rifle, crushing him.
Listen to me, Marine, you never let go of your freaking carbine, she whispered. Vanderman took off his helmet, you left your carbine in the dirt. If you want to die, tell me, and I'll put you out of your misery. But if you want to live, start acting like a Marine.
Her tone seemed to snap him out of his funk. He didn't reply, but Pack righted his kit and secured his SA-71 to his sling. With his gear stowed, he stood gingerly and prepared to follow her. They continued their movement for several more hours, and the grit-filled air became darker. Even the Tranquility Sun didn't want to see what had happened to the planet below. Sashala lamented having to bring up Vanderman the way she did, but ever since that, Pack moved more efficiently. Jade sent an alert to her helmet, indicating they would be leaving cover and moving into the clearing, and Sashala threw up a fist to signal a halt. Pack came over and dropped to a knee next to her, taking the chance to catch his ragged breath and drink water.
We're about to enter the clearing, Pack, said Sashala. Per Jade's recommendation, speed is our salvation. If you have juice left in your thrusters, now's the time to use them. There's a shite ton of open space and sight lines ahead. It's dark, and our visibility is nil, thanks to this haze. Unfortunately, the Harditz have outstanding natural night vision.
I'm tracking, Sash.
Jade, give me targets, said Sashala. The inky blackness Sashala saw on her helmet reticle flashed green, then black and white, layering night vision with thermal. Harditz, who appeared bright white in her reticle, loitered around the blockish sally port, which was still more than 100 yards away, uphill. The monkeys were staring across the clearing like they expected their gods to rise and deliver them from the planet on fire all around them. She figured that they could try looping around to one of the other five sally port entrances, but Pack had already started coughing. The crack in his helmet was causing him to suffer radiation sickness at a faster rate. They needed to move.
We'll go in through the front door, she decided.
Pack murmured his consent as she studied the sally port. Sashala hoped that Beta City was the same as Detroit City, since they were sister cities. She knew Detroit like the back of her SA-71, and she knew their old overlords believed in redundancy when it came to architecture. If it was the same, the blockish structure would have exterior fortifications protecting the door to the city built below them. The entrance would be a series of blind turns designed to favor the defender, and then lead to helical ramps that wound down into the city below. It would be dangerous, and she knew they'd need to be surgical in their assault to make it through alive.
All right, Pack, let's get this over with, she told him. Toss a flashbang to the far right as a distraction, then let's make the sprint.
They bumped armored fists before charging into the expanse ahead. Pack chucked the flashbang, and for a moment, the haze in the air reflected blinding white light.
Sabos began firing wildly as the Harditz reacted. The ground sloped upward, and Sashala tapped her thrusters to increase her velocity. A sabo penetrating her right thigh halted her sprint.
The force of the speeding projectile knocked her to the ground and spun her onto her side.
Contact 2 o'clock, she shouted.
Pack unleashed sabos in the general direction, but without a functioning helmet and AI support, he was firing blind.
Before Sashala rolled to her chest to return fire, she ripped a can from her waist and pushed the top of it into the hole in her thigh. Medical foam hissed into the wound, and Sashala gritted her teeth so hard she thought one of them cracked. The beat of her heart softened as combat drugs coursed through her body. Soon the pain had faded and her tunnel vision vanished. Pack was still running up the hill firing, and Sashala knew he wouldn't last long at this rate. The Harditz already appeared white in Sashala's reticle, but Jade ensured when her carbine sights were lined up, she would hit. Going from a slow jog to a faster gait, Sashala focused on the targeting points Jade provided and fired sabos through the haze-like void. When her carbine ran dry, Sashala tapped her combat thrusters and zigzagged. During the evasive maneuvering, her non-firing hands seated a new ammo carousel into her carbine. The process continued, and soon the 100 yards melted away. Pack was maintaining his speed, then he was gone. He hadn't tripped or been shot. He was just gone. A few moments later, Sashala jumped down into the trench Pack had fallen into. He was seated, gripping his rifle and coughing profusely. Small amounts of blood spattered the inside of his cracked helmet around his mouth.
You all right, Pack?
Sashala shouted as Jade isolated more targets for her to kill.
Yeah, who needs blood anyways? He replied. It's either the rib or the radiation. Who knows at this point?
Sashala knew it was the radiation. The alarms on her armor had been blaring in her ear ever since they closed in on the city, but she had Jade tune them out. They were now in the cone of radiation the Gamma Bomb had created, and the timeline for survival was compressed even more.
We've got to get you inside and find you a helmet, said Sashala.
She took a moment to throw a grenade down the trench, blowing 2 Harditz to pieces. Hell, the sooner we get iced, the sooner we can get this shite scrub from our blood. The sickly Marine stood, leaned against the trench, then straightened himself back up.
All right, let's make it happen, said Pack.
The trench was cut along the outer perimeter of the sally port entrance.
Sashala was happy to be surrounded by earthy sabo sponges.
Their movement was deliberate and somewhat rapid. Maintaining magnetic contact back to back, Sashala moved forward while Pack walked backward. This method of movement in the trench, which was 2 times wider than their shoulders, allowed them to protect each other. Jade was using Sashala's voice amplifier, so she could give direction to them both at the same time.
Stop here,
said Jade. Sashala, give me a quick look at the sally port again. Pack dropped to a knee with his back against the wall closest to the sally port, and Sashala stepped onto his shoulders to look over. The outer defenses of the sally port appeared formidable, proving to Sashala that the Harditz's legendary engineering prowess was more than just idle rumor. Several machine gun nests, four that she could see, created a defensible semicircle around the entrance to the sally port. To the flanks of these nests, low polycrete barricades, roughly waist high, allowed the Harditz to be on all fours and safely fire over the wall with their tails. All of this stood in the way of their survival. A sabo sparked against Sashala's shoulder and grazed across the skin, puncturing her armor. She jumped down from Pack's shoulders, grabbed her wound, and hissed through her teeth.
"That wasn't a quick peek, that was a lethargic review," said Jade. "Move forward, I see a route."
The area where she was peeking over began getting kicked up by incoming sabos. After Sashala sealed the breach in her suit with a flexible patch, they continued their back-to-back movement down the trench line. Sashala's breathing was slow and steady, but she could hear Pack coughing and struggling to clear the fluid from his throat.
"Body to your left," said Sashala.
"Roger," Pack replied. Sashala stepped over the dead Harditz she had shot in the neck, almost ripping off its head, and Pack lifted his foot high to clear it as he stepped backward. This communication kept Pack on his feet as he blindly followed Sashala and engaged enemies to her rear. Jade blared through Sashala's voice amplifier.
"You two, stop now and review the holodisplay I have linked into Sashala's digisheet. I would recommend throwing proximity grenades around the bends of the trench ahead and behind, and putting two directional explosives above while you review."
Sashala broke the magnetic lock she had initiated on Pack, and he fell to his butt. She immediately felt lighter than air without the burden of pulling him along. She leaned down and assisted him to the wall of the trench. Then Sashala ripped grenades from his chest and tossed them, as Jade had recommended. Traps were placed above, and then Sashala pulled out her digisheet for the impromptu battlespace assessment.